This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 561 of Shudders Inc. This is what? Bruce Williams from ShuddersIncPodcast.com. And if only you could see what I was seeing. The person disappearing behind the iPhone on my Skype chat is Mr. Glyn Lavender from creativeworkshops.com.au. The crazy thing is, the crazy thing is, the case of the iPhone has it's kind of acted like a green screen.
Oh no!
So it completely obliterated the phone, that's but it hilarious. Also obliterated you and just put the fake background. Behind.
Oh yeah, look at that! There it goes. I can see it now. But see, the funny thing is, I was texting you.
Oh, is that what you were doing?
Yeah, because you were saying I'm not online, and I thought I'd type in and tell you I was.
That was hilarious. Anyway, how have you been?
Well, I'm looking better like that though. With it, you can't see my head. Just some shoulders. Yeah, I've been okay. I've been at school. Holidays are over.
Yeah. Christ. An end to the dad jokes.
Oh, thank Christ for the hand basket.
So the internet breathes a huge sigh of relief.
Oh, just so do I. Oh, God, I'll tell you what. Dropped the kids off at school yesterday, first day back, got home at 9 o'clock, woke up at 11:45. It was fucking marvellous. That nap became longer than my normal night's sleep.
You know? Yeah, right. Wow.
So kind of funny. But good. I've been okay. Now said I can finally start getting a few things done. Now the kids are.
Yep.
Yeah. Mind you, these days it used to be that school holidays would be me taking them out and having to do stuff with them.
Yeah.
Now it's just taking them to places and waiting for them.
While they do stuff without you.
Yeah, well, they just do stuff. And I was just thinking tonight, it's like we used to, you know, have dinner and then we'd all, as a family, all sit and watch some shows together before bedtime. And then the eldest one just didn't anymore.
Yeah.
And it was just us and the youngest one. And now the youngest one doesn't anymore, so now it's just me and the wife. And I'm hoping that, yeah, so she won't anymore.
So it'll just be you and the cats.
It's just me and the cats and the TV or whatever damn show I want. No, that's not. No, me and my lovely missus have a fabulous routine every night of ignoring the kids and watching what we want to watch.
Nice.
It's fabulous. Speaking of watching to watch what I want to watch.
Yeah.
We've been just finished watching this show called Ripley that I put you on to during the week.
What is it?
So for those who haven't seen it, first and foremost, for those who haven't seen it, it's called Ripley, R-I-P-L-E-Y. It's on Netflix.
Yep. It is a serialized version of the movie...
The Talented Mr. Ripley.
The Talented Mr. Ripley, thank you.
With Matt Damon and Jude Law.
Yeah.
Was the movie.
Now, I will say, as a general rule, I absolutely avoid like the plague any TV adaptation of a movie.
Oh, I thought you were saying anything with Matt Damon. In it.
No. I generally do not like serialized adaptations of movies.
Generally,
they are not. But what absolutely makes Ripley, as you quite rightly pointed out, and what got me interested in giving it a look, is just how well it is shot and composed, and the fact that it's in black and white. It has this beautiful film noir kind of vibe to it.
Very, very Hitchcock.
Yeah. But the composition
I don't think I've seen a television show or even a movie for that matter, where every single scene or multiple times in one scene, the composition is so carefully considered.
I would say the only other movie that comes to mind...
Sin City.
There
you go.
There we go.
It's black and white.
We are totally on the same page. Yeah.
Like, didn't you message me that the other day? Or was it somebody else?
No, it wasn't me. It might have been somebody else. But yeah, like composition-wise, you know, every shot in Sin City was really well considered as well.
I never felt Sin City, though, felt photographic.
No, because it's meant to look like the graphic comic from which it's derived.
Whereas this feels... photographic that's animated, like there's just every scene is a photograph that's living.
But
you can just sit there and just stare at it as a photograph and go, my God, that is just remarkable. Yeah,
totally.
A simple act of somebody walking up a set of stairs, it's shot from three different angles.
Yes,
each one.
Oh no, after I said that the bandwidth has been fantastic, and now it's dropping out on us. You are kidding me.
Hello, who is it?
Got you back.
Well, I changed to my 4G on my phone.
Oh.
And hotspotted to my phone.
Yeah, right. And that's rock solid.
So, Bruce, just cut out that bit where I froze and disappeared and we had to call each other six times. Don't include that. Don't include that as part of the podcast.
Okay.
Just as a little plug tip.
Got it.
There for you. Speaking of having trouble hearing,
yeah,
we've had a little person sent through a few little messages this week saying they'd had trouble hearing, listening to the podcast this week.
Who?
Well, I don't mention names.
Oh,
but,
okay.
Yeah, but I did say that I was contacted, and right. I just thought I'd better put it out there to the listeners. So if any of you guys out there listening to us right now, and ladies, of course,
yeah,
if any of you out there listening to us now can't hear us, let us know, and we'll see what's going on, because Bruce is probably stuffing something up. That's what I told Jay. I said, mate, and he's trying to get his daughter to download it on her phone, and she's going, I can't even find it, Dad. And she was looking up Shutter Zinc instead of Shutter Zinc, which I thought was probably more appropriate. But apparently, hey, and if we want to, Bruce, there's no show called Shutter Zinc, so we could corner the market on all things. Shatters the way it shatters that matters. I think that slogan might have been taken. Anyway, as I was saying before you rudely cut me out,
yeah,
even the simple act of someone walking up a set of stairs,
yeah,
they do three completely different angles.
Yes.
You know, where one, and they're all amazing, but
yeah,
where you could simply have got away with one fabulous composition of a guy walking up the stairs and you go, wow,
yeah,
that's amazing. But we're talking about a 5-second piece of the show.
Yeah.
There's three different scenes.
Yeah.
And they're all, or three different angles of the same thing. And they're all amazing.
Yeah.
And this happens over and over through the show. Not that it's chopping and changing every couple of seconds, but you just want to keep pausing and just looking at the compositional brilliance.
The thing that has really struck me, like, you're right, like, all the shots are amazing. And it doesn't feel like there is even one scene in any episode where that level of care was not taken.
Yeah,
it's like every scene.
Yeah, yeah, and we're talking lighting as well.
Oh, it's
gorgeous. It's shot in extremely contrasty black and white too. I mean, very contrasty, which of course I love anyway. That's my bag, baby. But yeah, that really adds. I mean, you think incredible lighting, incredible composition. Who cares what the story's about, frankly? We kind of felt that way. Somebody commented on my Facebook, so I put it on Facebook for recommending people watch it, and someone said they got halfway through the first episode and then they had to rewind start from the beginning because they realized they'd nothing about what the show was about. They were so enamored with the visuals.
Totally.
Which is quite amazing. So if you haven't seen it, folks, people out there, I would highly, highly recommend having a gander. So, we just waffled off on other stuff. How have you been, Bruce? You've been good this last, has it been 2 weeks or 4 weeks?
It's been 2 weeks and I have been good. Yep.
Boy, this episode's gone as far as lag's concerned. Maybe we might take us 4 weeks just to finish this episode.
Finish recording it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, just to hear us, yeah. Cool.
No, been good. Busy at work.
Really?
Sort of in the planning stages now for Anzac Day, which is Wednesday of next week as we are recording.
Is it really?
Sorry, Thursday of next week.
It's next week already? My goodness.
Yeah.
Is that a public holiday?
This year's flying by. Yeah, it is. Of course it's a public holiday. It's always a public holiday.
Mate, every day's a public holiday. I'd lose track of these things.
It's a non-Glynn public holiday.
So not, yeah, when you have other people hanging around, it's like, what? How inconsiderate.
Yeah.
Oh, so you're doing an outdoor broadcast? Is that what they call those things?
We do. The Newcastle one is quite widely distributed, I believe, simply because of the beautiful backdrop. They hold the dawn service at Nobby's Beach, and
they should hold that later in the day.
Why?
They'd probably get a higher attendance.
Yes. kind of misses the point.
People don't want to get up so early.
That's right. But it does look very nice on the TV with the sun rising over the beach behind the dawn service.
So. Oh, I thought you meant your audio looks really good on the TV.
Oh, it does too. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Your audio is as good as Ripley's thing. I could ask you, because I was talking to you during the week about someone to make comments about, there was a newspaper article about this show, Ripley, right. And that some people have been complaining about it.
Yeah, right.
A, that it was in black and white, and they said, I know black and white's cheaper, but they should have stuck with colour. But I should also say it's not completely in black and white.
Okay.
There is one very brief scene. I'm not sure if it's spot colour or all colour, but there is a colour scene.
Which scene was that?
Have you watched all of it?
No, I think we're about six episodes in.
Okay, so you should be past it. So you've met the cat in the apartment building with the elevator that goes up and down. It watches the elevator go up and watches the elevator go down. We're watching the same show, Bruce.
Yeah, it doesn't ring a bell.
Yeah, it's six episodes in.
Right.
So what's happening at the moment? Where is he at the moment?
Well, spoilers.
Well, don't spoil. Just say, where's he living?
He's left Atrani.
Right.
And he's gone somewhere else. Can't remember where he's gone to.
And where's he living, though?
Where's he living? The last thing I think I saw, he was on the train.
He's not living on the train, Bruce.
No, I know that.
Okay, he might be moving to, I can't remember how many episodes in he moves, but maybe it's coming up.
Right.
Look for the colour.
Okay.
See if you can see it. Because it's one of those things that sometimes you don't even see that recognise the colour.
Right.
Because you've been so used to black and white.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that happened to us as a kid. You know, we got, it was an all-night movie marathon happening on. And those days, it's like three channels in Australia.
Yeah.
And there was one movie a week on a Sunday night at 8:30,
Right.
But there was a movie marathon. I think it was either all Friday night into Saturday, pretty sure it would have been.
Right.
And started at midnight and went all the way through into the night. And our parents said, look, you go to bed, sleep until we'll wake up just before midnight. We'll bring you down and you can stay up all night or as long as you stay awake and watch the movie. So we're all pretty excited. Me, my brother, my sister, we went to bed, we got up, we started watching the TV. We're all very excited. My mum and dad are standing there with big smiles on their faces. And we're like, you can go to bed now. You can go. And they're going, don't you notice anything? And we're going, what? And they've got the TV. We've gone, what about it? It's in colour. So we'd gone from black and white to colour TV.
Oh, wow.
They'd snuck it in that night and set it up, and we hadn't even noticed. So who knows how much they spent, how much they saved, how long they saved for to finally afford a colour television. And three kids sit and watch it, didn't even notice for 10 minutes. pretty bad.
Yeah.
And some people say the composition's annoying, by the way. There's another thing they were saying in that commentary.
I don't understand that. How can composition be annoying?
I know. It's just too good and too often and too many good things to have to look at. It does tire the eyes out looking at beauty. Not that I'd know. So you're at the dawn. Back to the dawn service, which is happening. You're going to be up at like sparrows, like 4 o'clock or something.
Earlier than that,
really?
Probably 3:30, because they close the roads at.
Oh, of course, yeah.
So we've got to be down there before 4:30. We start our broadcast at 5, and it goes till 6, and then we're doing other stuff, and then I'm packing up the OB and then heading back to the radio station.
They should give you the whole day off for that.
They should.
They should.
Totally
should. Do they?
No.
But it's a public holiday, Bruce.
I know.
You just told me that.
Yes, but I get paid public holiday rates.
Which is what, less than normal? Yeah. No, it's less than normal. So that's good. It means you can afford to buy another piece of kit for your camera with all the extra.
I've ordered another flash.
And ordered another flash? What kind of... Which one did you get again? I can't remember.
So,
was it the Godox?
No, Yongnuo.
Oh, that's right.
So I've ordered the 560 Mark III because that also has the 2.4 gig you know, receiver built into it. And I noticed when I was browsing around that there's a 560 Mark IV, and I thought, okay, what's the difference between the two? Because they're only about $20 difference.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I went and researched it before I just went, oh, stuff it, I'll buy the 4. Because the difference between the 4 and the 3...
Is it one?
Is the 4 has the controller built into the flash.
Right, so it's a master flash.
And I've already bought the controller.
Oh.
So it would have been a complete waste to have a second controller built into this flash that I was never going to put on the camera. It was always going to work off the camera. So it actually made sense to buy the 3.
And that's all the difference was?
That's it. That was the only difference. And I thought to myself, why on earth would you want a flash with the controller in it? Because then your flash is anchored to your camera all of the time. You can't move it off camera.
Okay.
Because it's the controller.
It's controlling the flashes and not controlling the camera.
No, but how are you going to get the signal from the camera to the flash?
You put a trigger on the flash on the camera.
So yeah,
and it triggers the master flash. No. It could be just a basic trigger, and it controls the fires the flashes. Like, no, maybe let's say it's 20 meters away, and then it fires off the other one. So anytime you want to change it, you need to walk the 20 meters, change to one button, walk 20 meters back. It's a very logical system.
Of course, it is.
You could be doing studio photography, Bruce,
and
you could have the controller on your camera.
Okay.
I know. It doesn't make a lot of sense, does it?
No, it does not. So anyway, so that should arrive this week. So
you saved $20 and didn't tell the missus.
That's it. I was only, God, what was it, $90 or something? It's like, yeah, it's so cheap now.
There's nothing, is it? Exactly. Nothing's worth anything, Bruce.
That's it. So I've got a couple of Yongnuo 460s that need to go on eBay. I'll probably get $10 for them. So
there you go. And it'll cover the return shipping for your new one if it's faulty.
Yeah, there you go. So have you done any photography in the last couple of weeks?
I think I might have taken a photo of my iPhone.
A photo of your iPhone?
No, with my iPhone. I don't think I did a photo of my iPhone. Is it from memory? I might have done it. I might have done a photo like and it reflected in the window.
Right.
No. I mean, we've talked since I shot the concert. We saw the concert photos.
Yeah, Dirty Honey.
That's right. So I shot. That's the last time I took a photo.
Right.
In anger.
Yep.
I do feel like I've got my cameras out for some reason, but I don't think I actually use them.
Probably to clean them.
But I do have a workshop coming up at the end of the month and the end of next month. So I've got to start getting my brain around it. Nice. I've actually started visualizing this off-camera flash shoot I want to do as well. So I've actually started to come out with it. But it's a pain because I need body painters and I need them in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, it's like body painters take hours to do the work in the middle of nowhere. How's that practical? You can't travel with the stuff on.
Yep.
So the shoot's actually going to be the easiest part of the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know? But we'll see. So we'll see if we can make that happen.
Nice.
But I'm also doing a talk.
Hmm.
A talk to the Berwick Viewfinders Camera Club on April the 29th. So if anyone's in the vicinity of Berwick and Victoria,
okay.
I'm doing my famous my photos of shit, I don't know why I bother talk.
Yep.
It's a classic. I've only done it once and I can't remember anything about it. And I just finished rebuilding it. It's 255 pages of PowerPoint long.
Jeez.
I still can't remember anything about it. I finished it, and I genuinely can't remember a damn thing about it. It was a solitary thing. So that'll be. I might have to practice that before I go out. I think it's the second time doing it. But no, that's it. I'm doing a few talks over the next couple of months, I think. It's can't remember. I put them on the calendar, then I forget. And then they message me, you are coming tonight, aren't you? I'm going, of course I am. What the hell? Can someone look after the kids? What do you mean you're 4 hours away? I'm going now, honey. That's only happened once. When they messaged me like 15 minutes before the starting time.
Yeah.
And said, oh, you no, actually, might have happened twice. Just thinking about it. Wouldn't surprise me. And so you are coming tonight. Oh, but when does it start? 15 minutes or I'll be there. And fortunately, that place was only like 25 minutes long. I might be a few minutes late and I had to throw the kids in the car, fly down, try and make sure I've got all the stuff for the presentation. And, oh, God. But I do tell, like I tell you, make sure you message me the day before to remind me, or it's very, very unlikely it's going to happen. But not only that, Bruce. Yeah, I think I might be just getting a bit forgetful with age. Because right. They had this one time that I had to go do his talk at a camera club.
Yeah.
And then messaged me like 15 minutes before it started. Said, "You are coming tonight, aren't you?" And I've gone, "Is that tonight?" And I had to throw the kids in the car and fly down. I was going to be like 5-10 minutes late. I'm desperate to make sure I got all the PowerPoint stuff together and try and remember what the talk's supposed to be about. I got there and did it though. So, but I said to him, I said, "You got to message me the day beforehand to remind me because I'm getting forgetful."
It's like that time.
What? What time? About what?
That time that they rang you 15 minutes before the thing and you... And
who
they,
did?
And they said, "Are you coming tonight?"
Who? I'm not sure that ever happened. I'm a professional, Bruce. What are you talking about? Never happened. It's like I've never forgotten you. I've never messaged... Whenever you message saying you're ready to record and you haven't received the message going, "Oh, shit." That's never happened.
Never.
Anyway.
Since 2005, Shudders Inc. has been a labour of love. But beyond the time required to produce it, there is also a financial commitment. If you find value in the podcast and would like to help keep the servers running, hit up the Patreon link, which is in the show notes. Even a couple of dollars a month will help. Much appreciated. Now, back to the podcast.
Okay, so shall we cover some stories?
Oh, if you have to.
Do you want to do yours?
I don't think so.
Okay.
What did I get? I can't remember because it's been minutes since I looked at it. And I saw that someone's running an AI beauty competition.
Right.
The world's first Miss AI competition, $5,000 cash prize. So it's a beauty pageant where AI-generated women can compete to be crowned the digital equivalent of Miss World. It's a global program of awards dedicated to recognizing the achievement of AI creators around the world. Well, I suppose if you're in the field of, objectifying women.
You know what I love about this idea of this competition, right, is that it's the creators who come up with the best prompts are going to win the money.
Yes.
And it'll be the companies who trained the AI models who'll be getting their noses out of joint that they're not getting paid for the work that their AI models are doing.
Oh, yeah.
And the shoe will be on the other foot because you've had them pilfering all of these images for the last God knows how many years to train the model and not having paid for any of that.
So by input. The model, you mean the AI model, yes. Not the AI model.
Yeah, correct. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Just, so I think we're clear on that.
It's a beautiful way of putting the shoe on the other foot.
I've got to say, I hate the fact that it has to be objectifying women again to be something. But I did see something briefly. I think it was Adobe, is paying people $7.25 a minute for video footage.
Wow.
To help train their AI.
What, you video yourself?
I'm not sure what specific video they want, but...
Wow.
I'm sure I did see something along that line. And there we are. Adobe Day. No, that's, oh, yeah. No, that's not it. That was quality content that right there. Oh, look here. NASA urged to offer its advanced imaging system in search for Loch Ness Monster. I don't think there's much point because they haven't found any aliens with it pointing the other way, have they?
That's it.
What's the point? What's the point of that? Oh, photographer dies after being swept into the ocean whilst photographing big waves.
What are you reading from?
I'm reading Peter Pixel's page.
Oh, come back to your actual list.
Oh, here, I found it. That one to the next. There it is. It is Adobe. Adobe will buy your videos. Oh, here we go. For up to $7.25. So look at your content, Brisco. I'll give you a cent. Cent a minute. Cent is 100 hour, 100 minutes. We'll give you a dollar. Australian tech and future and software companies working on developing generative AI artificial intelligence platforms. And really, who isn't doing that these days? Are in dire need of content to help train their AI. What do you mean they're in dire need? They've been stealing it, as you quite rightly pointed out. They've been stealing it for years. Maybe they're all getting caught now.
Yeah.
But training AI models that create still photos is hard. training a video generation model is even more hard. Oh, no, even more challenging. There we go. I actually did a AI-generated talking moving avatar promotion of myself today on Facebook.
I saw it.
It's a little South African man talking about my workshops coming up on the 27th mm-hmm. and saying it's going to be bloody marvellous. That's probably not a very good South African accent when you think about it. Based on the amount of money and clip duration Adobe wants, the reported payments work out to around $2.60 per minute for the submitted video, although it can range up to as much as $7.25. That's if you like putting in Oscar-worthy stuff, I'm guessing.
Right.
But that's kind of that seems kind of fair, you know. It's like so if you had like your NAS drive online, and you could create a separate folder that allows Adobe to dip in as you know the old they used to have the old search for extraterrestrial intelligence SETI where it would use banks of people's computers from around the world to analyze signals.
Yep.
Right. And you could have just when your computer running in the background and be just constantly searching for signal, looking through old footage or whatever. Well, Adobe and all these other AI could do the same thing. They could pay you a nominal fee, maybe, I don't know, free Photoshop membership for the month, every month, to have access to your photos to use for AI training.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be fairly appealing.
To some, yep.
Well, you think if you're an amateur photographer and you're just doing it for your own fun, but and it saves you the $25 or whatever dollars a month Adobe fee to have Photoshop.
Is it that cheap?
I don't know. I don't pay the bills as my wife is for. I don't know what anything costs. But yeah, but that could be a kind of a model that would work. And it keeps getting, as you add more photos, it keeps getting new stuff to work on.
Yeah,
I don't know. Just an idea, but anyway, what were you saying? That was me.
Go back to the rest of your list.
AI beauty contest. Well, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
Speaking of AI again, Bruce, this company's working on synthetic memories.
Yeah, this is which interesting.
So there's some photos here. This photo, in parentheses, was made from an 84-year-old woman's memory.
Yeah, right.
So she describes what she remembers.
Yep.
And these and this AI system generates an image using as much of the information as they can. So imagine if you had a couple of photos. So this one here, it seemed recently worked with an 84-year-old woman from Barcelona called Maria, and she had vivid memories of peering out from her balcony as a child to try and catch a glimpse of her father, who was incarcerated in a prison opposite where they lived.
Oh.
Right. Not that this photo looks anything like that. So I'm not sure if that's the photo. They're quite linking the things together. Oh, no, that's a bit further down. So all it is the back of two kids' heads looking out through a fence over the buildings that probably would have been there. So, I mean, you can use your GPS, you can use your historical photo records and all that sort of stuff, and it could generate these childhood memories into an actual thing you can show other people.
Yeah.
And it's quite fascinating. But and the strange thing is they're saying that the older AI image models work best for some reason.
Yeah, right.
The early images that produce flawed images actually work better because the new ones are so detailed that as soon as you can see detail, you look at the detail, and then you realize the detail is not actually what you saw or thought or remembered.
Yeah.
Whereas if it's a bit blurry, a bit flawed, a bit dreamy, it lets your imagination fill in a lot of the gaps.
Yeah, nice.
So they're really worried that they will turn off support for this older generation stuff and they won't be able to keep utilizing this tool. Yeah.
Wow.
But you would think maybe the new AI could be told to produce images like the old AI.
I was going
to
say, I'm sure
if it was actually intelligent.
Yeah.
But I just think that's a fascinating new world of imagery. Because, people can paint their memories, but this is photographic-ish style. I don't know. I just think that it could be a thing that who knows where it could be in 20 years' time.
Oh, frightening to think.
Yeah, it's like you wouldn't need a camera because you could just think about what you saw and be able to produce images of it.
Yeah, but there's been a great meme, not so much a meme as a screenshot of somebody's tweet floating around. I've seen it on Facebook a couple of times over the last week or so that absolutely nails this idea. It said, the problem with AI is it's all back to front. I want AI to do my washing and whatever so I can work on my art. I don't want AI doing my art so I've got time to do my
washing. Exactly. Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? The poor get worse off.
Tell me about the Godox retro style flash.
Well, have a little click on that link. It's a pretty cute looking little piece of old 50s sort of style, and it's all manual, so you got to dial in the
kind of reminds you of the old press photographers, doesn't it?
Exactly. and you know, the bulb popping out after you're taking a shot. Speaking of, in Ripley, there's a scene where there's a press photographer using taking photos, and after he does it's nighttime, he does the flash bulb, and he presses the button, and the globe ejects and lands, and he puts another globe in.
Yeah.
But he's taken these photos, and then those photos end up in the newspaper the next day.
Yeah.
But there's an error because the photos in the magazine, in the newspaper the next day, are the same, look like the same angles and everything they're shooting, but the one they're taking the photo of, the guy has a hat on. And the ones in the newspaper, he doesn't. It's like, dog, guys, you had one job.
Continuity error.
You had one job. Yeah. So it was kind of funny. But afterwards, just a pretty cute looking little flash. And if you've got one of those retro old cameras, like an old Olympus Pen digital camera or a Fuji X100Vs or whatever, any of those sorts.
Something like a rangefinder style camera.
Yeah. I reckon they'd be pretty. They're like $50.
Yeah,
which is nothing. Yeah, so I just thought that was a bit cute, and I really do like stuff coming out that's not just the same boring black box camera stuff again. Yashica are doing another Kickstarter project where they've got this blue square box camera with three different lenses you can have for, but it looks like a matchbox almost, but probably three times the size. But it's just coming out with this whole new concept of basic photography, but like back in the old days, we used to sell, back when I was a kid, in the photo industry, we used to sell the little Pentax 110 cameras.
Right.
And so it took 110 film, but they had interchangeable lenses.
So he had the
camera, they had a little motor drive that you could put on the bottom, and a flash you could click on the top, and then had like four or five different lenses you could get for it, and filters to go on that. So it's a full SLR type system.
Wow.
All in this little micro size.
But in 110 format.
It was so cool. It was the photos are crap because it was 110.
Yeah.
But you used to be able to get this little aluminium case, which was all perfectly form fitted for the whole kit. Yeah, that was so cool.
I have fond memories from the early days of my photography, where you remember the disposable flashes that had four of them, and you turn them around.
Yeah, the flash cubes.
I remember those. Yeah, that's right, flash cube.
And then there's the ones that were 10, which would go up like in the sticks, so they were tall. Oh.
I don't think I ever saw those.
Yeah, and also the globes are stacked on top of each other, and as you're firing, they went up one at a time up this little thing. But the flash globe used to be
series of fuses that would blow.
Yeah, and every time you get the flash cubes, they used to rotate itself automatically. I think every time you took a. I think you took a photo and you wound it as you wound the camera on.
I was going to say, I have a vague recollection of winding the film on and it actually rotating the flash cube at the same time.
they were like $10 for like three of the sets of four or something.
We're aging ourselves in public now, Glenn.
It's the early 80s, my friend. That was
late 70s, maybe.
So. Well, I'm not that old. I didn't start the photo business till 81, so I can only go from then. And I wasn't into photography before that, so maybe you are older than me, but maybe you've been into photography longer than I have.
Maybe. I got my first camera around about 77 or 78.
I think I had a camera,
yeah,
but I don't think I had any interest.
Right.
like a little Kodak box brownie or something, and that once a year you'd go on holidays for a day and a half or something, and you'd take it with you and take two shots because that's what. And then, 14 years later you get it developed because it's when you finally finish the film. But I remember back in the early days, people would bring in a roll of 36 and they'd have four Christmases on it. It's such a different world, And I took more photos of my cat this afternoon sleeping on a cushion, which he does every day. So it's nothing magic. Than most people would have done, that I would have done in like a year, as a kid, Nuts. Have you got anything to talk about, or are you just leaving all the work to me?
Philip Johnson sent us an email with a link to a Petapixel story called "The Ethics of Photo Editing: Truth, Lies and Views of the World."
Really?
Yes.
Did you look at it?
Oh, I looked at the pictures. I haven't read the article.
Did you send the article to me so I can have a look at it?
I thought you would have received the email, but maybe you didn't.
I don't recall.
Anyway.
Usually if it's anything to like Shuttering, it goes straight to spam. That's a routine I set up a while back.
Of course it is. Let me find the little chat window, and I will flick that
So you don't know what the gist. You don't know what the gist of the.
Well, basically, it's really old photos that have had artificial manipulation to make certain objects look larger than they were.
Yeah, it's like this is like the postcards from the '50s were all like that. We'd have and the classic example is a horse and cart carrying a ginormous popcorn.
Yeah,
kernel.
Piece of corn. Yeah,
not kernel. Yeah, piece of corn. Yeah,
as they call it.
Yeah, so that's what I said. Photos never lie. Every photo's a lie.
Yep.
If the photo is a police photograph used in court, additional documentation to certify it's true and accurate. I did a research project. Very early days in the digital for Victoria Police.
Right.
To try and help them come up with digital photos that they could use in court and prove that they weren't manipulated.
Right.
So I had to go and just try and find a way for them to buy, to shoot digitally rather than with film and not ever have the image questioned. And I managed to do it for them. And the only way it was possible at the time was using Sony digital cameras.
Right.
But the ones that use the little mini CDs, little CD-ROMs.
Oh, okay.
Not 10 centimetres, it'd be smaller than 5 centimetre CD-ROMs. Because there were worm, write once, read many time. So you shoot it once and that's it. So the police could take that photo on that CD into court and be irrefutable proof that it had never been tampered with. They were hugely thankful because it was a massive dilemma for them.
Yeah.
It might have been 97, 98, something like that. So it was very early days in digital.
Yeah.
It might have taken until 99 to find something. I can't really quite remember. But it was a huge project I was on for 2 years or something working with them to find proper but also to look at all the other ways that it could be exploited and all the other ways for whenever they were confronted with photos, how they could look for ways of seeing if they were fake and stuff like that as well. So
about 20 years ago, I was involved with ICAC, which here in New South Wales.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Independent Commission Against Corruption, which is basically a government agency that is set up to look into corruption within other government agencies,
and then not do anything about it.
not the case.
Okay, sorry. Then not to do anything about it if they're above a certain level.
And
if it's low-level flunkies.
I remember the investigator that I worked with saying, the same thing, where we were working with surveillance audio and I was cleaning that up to a point where we could make things audible so that they could present it in court. Having to maintain a chain of evidence as to, this audio came from this source and it was recorded onto this computer, it was processed in this software, and just having to maintain, this, as they call it, a chain of evidence. It's a similar kind of thing as to what you were discussing.
The only thing I remember about ICAC, though, is that you your premier, the head of your state, was found to be corrupt, and they didn't do anything about it. They just let her off. Because, as I said, above a certain level, certain pay grade, they get off being corrupt, you know?
Right.
What a world. What a world. That wasn't that long ago.
That was a couple years ago. A couple of years. I was working with them 20 years ago.
Yeah. So, did you learn how to be corrupt, though? It's like you go to jail to learn to be a better criminal. You know, you go to ICAC to learn to be a better criminal, too.
Yes.
How does this fraud thing work, tell me?
A couple of weeks ago, in our last episode, I mentioned that Carl Hemmings had sent me something or other about Jared Poland, Frono's photo, going off his nut about something or other and blah, 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 blah. We told Carl.
I think that's exactly how you said it, actually.
Pretty much. We told Carl, come back with some more info. Carl came back with a link to the Instagram
video. To the fro going off.
Of the fro going off his nut. And I watched the video, and he basically was saying that Shutterstock, the website where you can buy images, had on their site AI-generated images that were sexually suggestive. They weren't explicit, but they were certainly suggestive, and that they featured children as the primary subject. And Fro was going off his nut, A, that Shutterstock had them on their site for sale, and that Petapixel, having done a story about that, had included screenshots from Shutterstock in their article. And Fro was basically going, shame on Petapixel for putting that up, because it was not necessary to do so. And he said in his video, I know that you guys are going to go out and look for this stuff now that I've, you know, gone mental
about
it.
That's the problem, isn't it? Yeah.
And so I did. I went looking for it, found the Petapixel page. It's disturbing AI images of children found for sale on Shutterstock. And at the bottom of the article, there is an update that says, the original version of this article contained screenshots from Shutterstock's website showing the disturbing images being offered for sale. We heard the feedback from readers that their inclusion was unnecessary and offensive. Thank you to everyone who let us know. We've since removed the screenshots and apologize for their original inclusion. And Shutterstock has also now taken those images down for breach of their user terms.
Yeah, I mean, who's to say that they had any knowledge the stuff was on there?
Mate, you can imagine the quantity of material that's hitting the Shutterstock servers on a daily basis. You know, it would be like whack-a-mole trying to keep up with that stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you're going to, I can understand why they'd want to have images in the article.
Yeah.
To because that way they're not just saying it. They're actually saying, yes, look, this is, but you would blur. You could show the link. You could, it was in the page or the sort of the Shutterstock logo, but blur out the actual images.
Yeah,
this is it. Here, this is where they are. This, you know, not, once again, not leading people to go look for them, but actually just blur out the offensive content itself. Yeah,
yeah.
But you know, I've had a problem with Japanese anime for donkey's years as well, little schoolgirls and stuff all sexualized. It's like, I'm not sure how an AI, I didn't see the images, so I can't say, but I'm not sure why there's not more of an uproar about that sort of stuff, frankly, that seems to be deemed acceptable for kids to look at, anyway. But thanks for sending that through, Carl.
Yeah, thank you, Carl. So that's me done for another episode.
Done and dusted. Look at that. Useless. It wasn't very good. This is terrible, Bruce. We had no useful. This is like normal programming. But nothing useful.
We did a good analysis of the show Ripley. That was
useful. Oh, yeah, fair enough. If nothing else, we introduced people who didn't know about it.
Yeah. And so it's on Netflix for those that are interested. Yeah.
It's like a community service.
That's right.
Or for your favorite BitTorrent illegal pirate downloader. What? Where'd that come from, Bruce? You shouldn't say stuff like that. You're a terrible man. So that's it. We're finished.
That's it for another fortnight.
We're out here. Let's leave it 2 weeks this time.
Okay.
Yeah,
good idea.
Much better.
Let's do that. All right, mate.
All right, bye, everybody.
See ya.
Oh, actually, no, before you go, this is breaking news.
Yeah.
Did you know the beginning of our Shutter Zinc episodes, there's a woman talking?
No.
There is. I heard it this week.
What were you doing listening? Did you push the wrong button on your phone?
No, because the guy was saying, I can't get it. The episode's not working. I'll check it in my interpretation. Some woman started talking, Bruce.
That's right.
Yep. What's that about? Is that AI?
No. No, no, no. That is Annabelle Stevenson, who is an Australian actress. He's a bit of a cutie, just quietly. But I
don't sexualise people, Bruce. No, sorry. Unless it's me.
I worked with her a couple of years ago.
And you said, look, whilst we've got 5 minutes, can you say? So has this been going for a few years?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Nice to know you've not listened to a single episode.
Well, that's a turnip for the books, I'll tell you right now. fancy that. Oh, well, that's it. It's not news to anybody then. Forget the breaking news bit.
That's it. Yeah.
People may have heard it already.
The breaking news is that Glenn listened to the start of an episode.
Yeah, only until I think all I heard was, I think, had she started something like Welcome To? Something, and they'll cut it off after that. I heard like three words.
Yeah, I can't think what the exact wording is now.
Something like that. But I heard like there might have been a bit of music, then three words. I dozed off, and then I woke up and turned it off. Because it's no, it was, but there we go.
Yep.
Female introduction.
Yep. Yeah. It's been there.
Do
for
we
a
have
long
background
time.
Music still behind us talking? No. Oh, no. Good. You used to do that, didn't you?
Yeah, very early days. Yep.
Really? There you go.
Yeah.
Fancy that. All right. My job here is done.
Have a good one.
Bye.
See ya.
You've been listening to Shutters Inc. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.